My sermon this morning is really a kind of a question. Have you experienced God's love? I mean, some of you sitting here, if you're Christians, you will know God's love, but have you experienced it? Now, this is kind of a Pentecostal kind of statement, experience. You know, we don't want to just read it in Scripture and understand it and then go, yes, this is true. We don't want to just look for the evidence. We want to experience it. We want to know what it is that we believe by experience. I'm not saying that there aren't other denominations that are there that don't want the same thing. They want to experience God. But I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not enough to know God's love or know the idea that God loves you. You have to experience it. We must experience the love of God, otherwise it will not transform us. So, we'll start at the most important place, the Word of God. If you would, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's in the New Testament, but later on. 2 Thessalonians, so there'll be 1 Thessalonians, then 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to read from chapter 3, it's the last chapter in 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to read verses 1 through to 5. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Now, if you look in verse 1, it says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. So there's an important request. We want to spread the message of Christ, the message of the Lord, our gospel message, we want to spread it. And so there's a prayer. He's asked his brothers and sisters this in the church to pray for him that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. Now, interestingly, he doesn't say, pray for us that we may spread the message of the Lord rapidly and be honored. He says that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly and be honored. The message itself, not us, not our ability to deliver it, just the message itself. And then later on, and this is what I really want to concentrate this morning in my message. Verse 5, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Now, many Christians live at a great distance from a felt experience of the love of God. So much Christianity in the West is shallow and satisfied. It affirms a creed, but it so often lacks spiritual life. Across the country, there are many thousands of people who have a faith, who've been brought up in the church maybe, to believe Jesus died and rose, but they have no living experience of God's love. And even when I've preached about the love of God demonstrated in Christ himself sacrificing his life for you, we can understand that at a head level, but do you feel the intimacy of that event as it pertains to you personally? We need this prayer from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. If you want to ask why I have committed to this path for so long, for others it'll seem like not very long at all. It doesn't seem long to me. Why I'm committed to this path of work within the community, it is because of this very scripture. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. What that means to me is that may my heart be filled with the love of God so much that it propels me when all circumstances would suggest I stop. Christ's perseverance. This is a prayer for Christians. Paul is writing to the church. It's a prayer that God will do something in us who believe but do not always feel that God loves us. I don't want to be there, and neither do you. People who are not Christians, well, and Christians as well, but people who are not Christians endure great pain and carry great sorrows. They do it often just by gritting their teeth, or through self-medicating. Or they do it in Britain with a stiff upper lip. Paul is saying to these believers in this verse, I want something better for you. I want your soul to be filled with the love of God. In my marriage, the transformation in me is testament to the love of God. I was laughing with my wife the other day about the kind of person I was before we were married, the kind of people we were, the kind of hopes and dreams and aspirations we had, and also the kind of disappointments and regrets and all sorts of things. And yet I look back on our nearly 20 years of marriage now, and I am astonished at the kind of person I've become. Now, probably a significant portion of that is because of the wife that God gave me, but also because God himself has been doing a work in my heart and has been showing me how much he loves me as I've aged. And so, like Paul saying to the believers, I'm saying this to you, I want something better for you. I want your soul to be filled with the love of God. Well, that's all very well, but I want to give you some testimonies of experiencing the love of God. Now, some of these come from a long time ago, but they're validated and verified. So let me give you some real-life examples of the love of God flooding a person's soul so that you will be encouraged to pray for more of this kind of love yourself. John Wesley. Wesley was a pastor. He had preached on two continents, in England and in Georgia. Something happened to him in Aldersgate Street in London on May the 24th, 1738. It's a little while ago. Anyone here then? Oh, okay. While he was listening to a man read the preface to Luther's work on Romans, so this is Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, this is Martin Luther, a reformer. Here is Wesley's description of what happened while he was listening to the preface, so the beginning of it. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sin, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Amazingly, at that time, Wesley had been preaching in church for years. But now he tasted the love of God. He had a new sense of its sweetness. Its life, his life and ministry were transformed. What about Jonathan Edwards? In 1731, Edwards rode into the woods for a time of prayer and wrote of his extraordinary experience. I had a view that was for me extraordinary of the glory of the Son of God and his wonderful, great, full, pure and sweet grace and love. He went out into the woods, tied up his horse, and saw the love of Christ in a way that he had not seen it before. He had a view of it. He got a glimpse of it. Its sweetness came home to his soul. Blaise Pascal. One of the most intense descriptions of this kind of experience comes from Blaise Pascal. Pascal is especially interesting because he was a mathematician and a scientist. It would be easy for some of us to dismiss this loving call by saying that there are certain more emotional types of people who have had these experiences. Oh, well, you know, we all know so-and-so, they're a bit sensitive and they're always going to have those kind of experiences. Well, Blaise Pascal, a mathematician and a scientist, had an extraordinary experience of the love of God that lasted for about 2 hours. He scribbled some notes of what happened to him and then he sewed them into the inside of his coat where they were found after his death. And these are the words he wrote. This day of grace, 1654, from about 10:30 at night to about half after midnight, fire. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers and scholars. Security, feeling, joy, peace, God of Jesus Christ, greatness of the human soul, joy, 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 tears of joy, Jesus Christ, may I never be separated from him. What happened to Pascal? His heart was directed into the love of God and the perseverance of Christ. That's what happened. These testimonies show an amazing work of God in the hearts of men, causing them to experience God's love and Christ's perseverance in a new way. And now I'm going to tell you what happened to me. Some of you may know that in my early 20s, I was married and I went through a pretty nasty separation divorce. And unfortunately, at the time, you know, my mental health was pretty trashed, and so I was feeling all kinds of suicidal, not in a good space. And I remember I really wasn't that close to God either. I kind of blamed God for the problems that I'd had in my marriage. I blamed God for deceiving me that somehow I would find happiness in marriage, and that was a lie, and that God didn't care about me. And one day, I was driving in the car, and I remember it so vividly. It was mid-afternoon, and I was driving along the waterfront in Napier, and I was coming back to Hastings, and I drove through Clive. And as I got through Clive, I was just sort of accelerating. And I remember the song was on the radio. It wasn't like some religious song. It wasn't really spiritual in any way. And while I was going along that road, I felt the love of God. And I began to weep. Now, I'm trying to drive, and I'm weeping, but it's not sadness. I don't want to hurt myself, nothing like that. I mean, I probably would have because I could hardly see at that point, but I just remember this intense love of God. And it was the kind of thing, it wasn't like there were words that came with it and, you know, he told me a whole kind of like list of things, but I knew that this feeling wasn't coming from some of my own thoughts. I wasn't talking myself up. I wasn't affirming who I was or anything like that. I just knew that someone loved me with a love that could only be described as the best love on earth. Now, there was nothing around that situation to indicate that this was the feeling I was supposed to feel. I wasn't on an altar call. I wasn't being prayed for. Nobody put their hand on my forehead and, you know, had dipped it in some nice smelling oil and done the anointing thing. Nobody had done that. Nobody was, at that time, I believe, praying for me. I was alone in a dark place, and the love of God reached down and through all of that and took hold of me. Now, I'd love to say that immediately after that, I fell on my knees and repented, and everything was just fantastic, and I've been following Jesus ever since. No, he needed to punch me a few times too. No. But what happened was, I never forgot that. I've never forgotten it. And there are other incidents in my life where God has reached through all of the mess and all of the noise and all of the anxiety and fear and all of the stuff that's going on in my head and my heart, and he's reached through and he's taken a hold of me with what I can only describe as the best love in the world. So now when someone asks, why do you do this? How can I do anything else but express what has taken hold of me? But we need power to know God's love, to experience God's love. There has to be some sort of application of power to make that happen. Recently, a seminary professor asked 120 of his students this question: do you believe that God loves you? And I could perhaps ask you that question this morning. You don't need to answer it loud, but do you believe that God loves you? Out of 120 Christian students preparing for ministry, how many do you think said yes? These are all Christians preparing to go into ministry. How many? Two. Out of 120 Christian students, two of them said that they believed that God loved them. The rest gave answers like this: I know I'm supposed to say yes. I know the Bible says he loves me, but I don't feel it. Or I'm not sure I can really say I believe it. Jonathan Edwards used a simple analogy to get to the heart of this problem. There is a difference between having a rational judgment that honey is sweet and having a sense of its sweetness. You can know honey is sweet because someone tells you, but you don't really know its sweetness until you've tasted it. You can know God loves you because your Sunday school teacher or your pastor or other Christian leader told you, but you don't really know God's love until you've tasted his love. Well, you might sit there and go, well, that's all very well and good. How do I experience the love of God? So I'm going to give you a couple of concrete steps to experiencing more of God's love. All right? Number one, become dissatisfied with your present spiritual experience. Become dissatisfied with your present spiritual experience. You see, you might think it is, you know, come along to our Holy Ghost meeting and then I'll jump around and pray for you and then you'll have this amazing experience and we'll hug it out for an hour. And no, just become a bit dissatisfied with your present spiritual experience with God. Cultivate what I'd call a holy discontent. The person who prays this prayer is looking for something more than he or she already has. So here's what you could pray. Lord, direct my heart into your love. Direct my heart into your love. We live in a been there, done that culture, and the great danger is developing a been there, done that form of Christianity. I know God loves me, that Jesus died for me, and that my sins are forgiven, so what's next? We've ticked all the boxes of becoming a Christian, what happens next? Then one day someone says to you, do you really believe that God loves you? And your shallowness is exposed. Been there, done that. You know, I remember when the church was like this and like that, and I remember when we used to do things and this happened and that happened, and I remember God's power being so much greater than it is now. You know, God's power has not changed, you have. I remember back in the day when church was really amazing, it was really pumping, it was full of energy. Church is made up of you and me. Become dissatisfied with your present spiritual experience and say, Lord, direct my heart into your love. And that's a really key word, your love. Not direct my heart into the general feeling of loving people. No, direct me into the heart that love's greater than anything else in the universe. Direct me into your heart. Direct me into seeing your heart for me. A.W. Tozer says in the Pursuit of God, he wrote, "We have been snared in the coils of spurious logic, which insists that if we have found him, we need no more seek him. In the midst of this great chill, there are some who will not be content with shallow logic. They want to taste, to touch with their hearts the wonder that is God. I want deliberately to encourage this mighty longing after God." Now, some of you here this morning think God is cold and aloof and harsh and demanding, and these thoughts are deeply rooted in your mind. You need this prayer. Father, direct my heart into your love. Ask God, and go on asking until, like the snow that melted in the warmth this week, or the frost on the lawn, your heart begins to thaw in the warmth of the love of God. Someone was asking me about doctrine. They wanted to debate with me about doctrine, particularly around grace and a few other bits and pieces. And they were asking me, you know, about the evidence for some of these new things they were discovering. I said, "Can I tell you a secret to interpreting things that are from God and doctrinal truth and all that?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Does it make you love more like Christ? Does it? Does it feel like the love of God?" "Well, I don't know what the love of God feels like." I talked with another evangelist. He travels the world a lot. He's a quiet man. He's a thoughtful man. He's the opposite of what you'd expect an evangelist to be like. He's American, again, a sort of alien to the quiet sort of man. And he said to me, well, he actually wrote in his book about how when you encounter God, when you experience an encounter with God, with the glory of God, with the love of God, you are forever, forever marked by that experience. So much so that anything less than that, you know, isn't God. He said, "Have you ever felt that? You've gone to a meeting and you've thought, yeah, that's kind of getting there, but it's not what I know God to be like." Those encounters, that experience of the love of God marks and transforms you for the rest of your life. And for some of you, it is but a distant memory of a moment where you encountered the touch of God, and now you are satisfied with something less. Can I suggest you pray that prayer, "Father, direct my heart into your love, that it might thaw in the warmth of the love of God." And the second thing, so that's the first, become dissatisfied with your present spiritual experience. The second thing is, gaze into the love of God in Christ Jesus. Psalm 27 and verse 4 says this, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Now you all know this. People who don't like each other will glance at each other. People who like each other will look at one another. People who are desperately in love will gaze at each other. You know, one of the funniest things when you're a couple and you've been married for some time is if you look at your spouse for longer than 30 seconds, they go, "What are you looking at? Have I got something on my face?" But the truth is, if you love someone, you could gaze at them for a very long time and not grow tired of what you're looking at. Isaac Watts used another word to say the same thing in his famous hymn, "When I survey the wondrous cross." So survey gaze, ponder, and meditate on the love of God. And my message to you this morning, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's presence. Now, there are two responses you could have this morning. Something in this message may awaken in you deep calls to deep. Maybe you're thinking, I want more of what he's talking about. Settle it today in your heart and in your mind that you will pursue a sweeter taste, a deeper experience, a clearer glimpse of the love of God and the perseverance of Christ. Go after it. Don't ever stop. But let me tell you something. I cannot provide it. There is no pastor that can love to the same extent that God loves. There's no pastoral carer that can love to the same extent that God loves. The acts of service that we do in love and in selflessness are nothing compared to what love God brings to us. So chase after it. Settle it today that you will pursue a sweeter taste of the love of God. Now, why is that important? Because it's from that other things flow. It will sustain you. The love of God has sustained me through disappointment after disappointment, through barrier after barrier, hurdle after hurdle, rejection after rejection, challenge after challenge, disappointment on disappointment. God has sustained me. He's taken away the root of bitterness, the root of pessimism, the anxiety, the complaining. Now I only do it at home with my wife. No. For others this morning, this message does not so much sound like a church bell drawing you in, but an alarm clock waking you up. If you have no response to the love of God, shouldn't you be concerned about the condition of your soul? I hope you'll ask, what is wrong with me? I have no interest in the love of God. Why am I so satisfied when others are hungry and thirsty for God? Perhaps you've replaced that hunger and thirst for another person. I wish this person would pay more attention to me. I wish that person would like me more. I wish they would show me love. I wish. All from people who can't satisfy like God does. Perhaps God will use this message to awaken you from the deadness of spirit in which you've been sleeping for far too long. I'm so grateful that he did the same in my heart, and he continues to do it, to awaken me, to shake me awake. When I start feeling a kind of self-pity and a kind of, I'm worn out, oh God, I've done so much, and I just feel like everybody should look after me, take care of me. I don't know if you've seen, there's this photo from the set of The Passion, and the actor that plays Jesus is like sitting there and he's covered in blood and he's got like a crown of thorns on his head and he's all in the makeup and everything, and then there's the director sitting next to him talking to him, and I kind of just remind myself, yeah, it's kind of like me complaining to Jesus about how tough I've got it. Oh Jesus, you just got no idea. I got up this morning and I burned a toast. Someone left the toaster in the highest setting and it burned. And then the last of the milk's gone, and so I had to have like a black coffee and to put a sugar in it because it didn't taste really nice without sugar. And it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Yeah, but God loves you. God loves me. He loves me. And so we're not going to have a great public altar call. But what I am going to do is I'm going to ask you to stand. if you would. And then I am going to pray, and I'm going to pray for everyone, all of us. And I ask, look, you don't have to pray with me, but I pray you just listen to the words that I say and affirm them in your own heart. Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, you know each of us, you know me intimately. And Lord, I know I haven't got all my ducks in a row. But Lord, if I think I have, can you please knock them all over? And Lord, I ask that you would stir up this dissatisfaction I have, this questioning that I have, this kind of distance I feel between you and me. And Lord, I pray that I might gaze into the love of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, being dissatisfied with my current spiritual experience, I ask you to direct my heart into your love. And Lord, I pray that you might do it in whatever way you choose to do it, that I might be surprised and captivated once again by the love of God for me. Lord, I'm kind of running on empty. I'm running on fumes, and I want to be filled, and I want to be certain, and I want to be sure of the love of God for me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.